promises for our wilderness pilgrim journey on this earth. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts, or let the ancient word impart. So Father, we do, that's our prayer right now in this moment, that by your Spirit, through your word, you would impart, you would quicken, you would minister to us. For those who are gathered here this morning and listening online, quicken our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In Psalm 119, that's the psalm often called the Psalm of the Word of God, for almost every verse, I think, apart from maybe two verses, make reference to the Word. And in verse 18, it says, "Open you my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." What does that tell you? It tells you that if he doesn't open our eyes, there are things that we will never see, that we will never understand from his word. Verse 19, "I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not your commandments from me." I am a stranger, a pilgrim, a sojourner on the earth, and I have this book, and I have your Spirit. And I ask that you wouldn't hide your commandments, you wouldn't hide your word, but actually the opposite, that you would open the word, that you would reveal your word, that you would speak to me. Verse 20, "My soul breaks for the longing that it has unto your judgments at all times." A longing in the heart of the believer. Shouldn't that be so? When we realize the provision of his word in our lives. And it's likened unto the manna that was a physical provision for the Israelites as they sojourned through the wilderness, that God had a provision for them and he rained down heaven from heaven the manna for their provision. It's found in Exodus 16. And of course, Christ in John 6 identified himself as the bread of heaven, ultimately in the sense of salvation. Whoever eats this bread, whoever believes on me will be saved. But also, there is something that we need to discover on a daily basis. We are saved once forever by believing in Christ, but there is a provision through his word every day that we are to look for. In verse 15 of Exodus 16, it says, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." So in the spiritual sense, we find that truth also. This is what God has given us. This is spiritual food. And when you consider that metaphor, that symbolism, it strikes true, doesn't it? That spiritual health, just like physical health, how foolish it would be to neglect food, that I would become weak and sick, etc. And in the same way, as stewards and as Christians, we have to be sure that we have the word in our life. They were instructed to gather it every morning. You remember that? The Israelites had to go out in the early morning when the dew was on the ground, and they had to gather the manna every morning. How instructive that is for our hearts. Not every Sunday, but every morning. Every day, there is a need for me to fellowship with God in his word, that he would instruct my heart, that he would guide me, that he would speak to me, that he would give me a word in season for my journey, for my life, for my relationships. Psalm 143, verse 8, "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning," in the morning, when the dew is on the ground, early in the morning, before the children are up bouncing around, before I speak to anyone else, oh, that I would speak to God. Before I hear from anyone else, oh, that I would hear from God, that I would have quiet moments. And that we must learn as Christians to have that spiritual discipline in our life, that this book doesn't remain closed in my life, but it is open. And I gather it in the morning. For this is the bread that God has given us for our journey. And in the Bible, in the Pentateuch, in the books of Moses, there are two verses that tell us what manna tasted like. First is in Numbers 11:8. It says, "And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil." Oil. And oil in the Bible is mainly understood to be a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The application, the anointing of the oil on kings and priests and prophets for their office was recognizing that, first of all, they were set apart to that activity, that ministry, but also a recognition that the Holy Spirit was needed to enable them to accomplish their duties. So we understand that the Holy Spirit is symbolized by the oil, and that you have the bread and the taste of oil. What does it mean? That it's not enough that I have the Bible, but I must have the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit gives me understanding. It's the Holy Spirit that will open my eyes, like the psalmist prayed, which is such an important prayer for us as believers in the morning and in services. Oh Lord, open my eyes. There's an understanding in that prayer, isn't there? An understanding for the need of the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Illumination means the Holy Spirit brings light for me to see which I could not see. John 16:13, Jesus said, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will" what? "He will guide you in all truth." There is a guidance. There is a revealing, an opening of the word in my life. "He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is for us as believers in this world on our walk. We have the word and we have the Holy Spirit, the oil, the illumination, that we are not only Bible taught, but we are Spirit taught, that the Spirit of God would quicken us and teach us, and he would guide us in all truth. 1 John 2:20 says, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Wow. You have an anointing. You have an anointing. What does it mean? It means that you have the Holy Spirit in you and with you, who is your teacher. That he will illuminate, that he will guide you. Also in verse 27, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you." You, as a born-again believer, have the Holy Spirit in you, abiding in you to teach you. You have the anointing. The second place where we are told about the taste of manna is in Exodus 16:31, and it says, "And the taste of it was like wafers made with honey." Oil and honey. The oil of the Holy Spirit and then the honey. If there's no oil, there's no honey. If there's no Holy Spirit, there is no quickening. And that's what is referred to by the symbol here of honey. Psalm 119, verse 103. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." But you think it's possible that sometimes I read the word and it's not sweet? You think sometimes I could read a word and it's so sweet, and to another person it's not? Right? This is part of our experience as believers. We think of the rhema principle. Rhema is a Greek word. It's not kairos like the written word or logos, but it's rhema. It's a spoken word. It's a word that is living. And the rhema principle is that when there is oil, there is honey. That when the Holy Spirit is quickening me and teaching me, oh, sweet to my taste. There is illumination, there is understanding, and there is a quickening. Ezekiel 3:3, So Ezekiel was told to open his mouth and eat the scroll. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. That he will guide us in all truth. There is the oil, there is the honey, there is the clarity, there is the understanding, there is the pilgrim on his journey with the word open, looking to heaven, and he is hearing instruction for his walk on this earth. We remember the story in 1 Samuel 14, and if you would allow me, although you don't have any choice right now, but if you would allow me, I'll share from you for 1 Samuel 14. And it's the story when King Saul, who sadly was a carnal king, and we don't read about the Psalms of Saul or the devotion of Saul or the prayers of Saul or the mighty men of Saul. And he was very insecure. And he made an oath in verse 24 saying, "Cursed is the man who eats any food until the evening before I have taken vengeance on my enemies." So the people tasted no food. And now all the people of the land, they came to the forest and there was honey on the ground. Now I want you to picture it. The people are tired, they are weary, they need sustenance. They need something to eat that their physical bodies would be quickened. But they have been told they cannot eat until after they get the victory. So they are trampling through the woods and they are tired and they see the honey dripping from the honeycomb. But it says, no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan, verse 27, who was Saul's son, had not heard his father charge the people with the oath. And therefore he stretched out the end of his staff that was in his hand, and he dipped it in the honeycomb, and he put his hand to his mouth. And listen to this. And his eyes were enlightened. Or some translations, his countenance was brightened. It means he was physically quickened through the honey. And just as honey would physically quicken our physical body, the honey of the word, the quickening of the word, will revive and renew us in our spiritual man. Have you ever sensed that quickening? Have you? Oh, hopefully we say, oh, many times. So much so I long for it. I pant after it. I hunger after it. I could open my Bible and I would say, oh, Lord, open my eyes. Please speak to me. Please quicken me. I am like a deer that pants after the water in the water brook, because I have tasted it before. I have tasted the honey before. I have tasted the oil before. I have sensed the quickening and the revival in my life. And I also know what it means when I am naturally minded, when I am carnal, when I am wandering like a sheep that's gone astray. I know what that feels like as well. So Lord, quicken me again. Let me taste the oil. Let me taste the honey and quicken me. One of the people said, "Your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, 'Cursed is the man who eats the food this day.'" And the people were faint. I think that many Christians are faint, don't you? Have you ever met a Christian who maybe had something but they lost something? Who were drawing near and now they're wandering? Who were so fervent and excited, but now they're familiar, and that which is sacred and holy and heavenly has become common in their lives? It can happen. Which is why the psalmist prayed in Psalm 119:25, "My soul cleaves to the dust, but quicken me according to your word." Jonathan said, "Oh, my father has troubled the land." My father, in that oath, that was not wise. He has held something back from the people. I also believe it's possible that pulpits are holding something back from the people, that they are not preaching the gospel. They are not teaching the word. there is not sound doctrine. There is not the sound of grace. There is not the experience that believers have where they hear the word, they taste the oil and they taste the honey and they are quickened and revived. But sadly, our land is filled with churches like museums where people go in and there is the ceremony and perhaps this book is not even opened. And people go out the same as they came in. And that should not be. But we need to have a personal relationship, a personal devotion with the Word. That as a believer, we must develop our devotion life. We must know what it means to go and draw the oil and taste the honey and have communion with God. Maybe only moments, but those moments turn into a longer time that we love and we crave for. But don't neglect it. It is so easy, especially in the fast pace of life, that we get up and we rush out the door. But we lose when we do that. But we say, oh Lord, quicken me for the day. Speak to me for the day. Fill me for the day. And you realize when you do that one day, you have a spirit-filled day. You have a better day. And when you do that for 2 days and 3 days, oh, you do it for a week. Oh, you do it for a month, and this is how you have a spirit-filled life. It is by daily disciplines. It is by daily bread, daily mercies, daily cross that we don't take for granted, but we purpose through spiritual discipline and faith. I have seen a church that I know of that I was one of the assistant pastors in many years ago, and I remember that church had hundreds of people. I taught in a Bible college there for 18 years. I remember the classes filled with young people. In the smaller classes, maybe 30 people. In the bigger classes, maybe 80 people. Coming on a weeknight or early in the morning for Bible classes. I remember the prayer meetings and the services. And you know what? That church has dwindled down today. The Bible school has closed up. People have split. People are either not going to church or trying to find other churches. What happened? That church lost something. That church lost the Word of God. That church lost the oil. It lost the honey. It lost the grace. It lost the love. And people continue going and continue going. And then finally they would say, "What? Why do I even come here?" So they stopped. Isn't that sad? That's so sad. It breaks my heart. But the oil and the honey is what we pray for when we pray for one another, when we pray for our pastor, when we pray for our church. For if you lose that, eventually you can lose everything. Not your salvation, but in terms of your spiritual life. So this is not an option for the believer, is it? It's not an option. Having the word in my life, hearing preaching, having devotional life. And of course, we're going into a lockdown in this strange time. And maybe I need to work out, how do I use this device that I could hear preaching? Oh, I need to develop a relationship with my Bible. These pages, I love that sound. I love that sound, the Bible. Develop a relationship with your Bible. So it's interesting that manna, the word manna means, what is it? Because that's what the people said when they saw it. They looked, what is it? And that was the Hebrew name. They called it manna, which means, what is it? Which is an appropriate word name, because there is a mystery with the Bible. And there is a mystery with the sense of understanding. And I can come to it and I don't understand it, but when I hear it preached, or when I study it and I taste the oil and there is the honey, I'm like, oh, there is the understanding and then there is the faith. And I say that to people who visit our church. I say, listen, if you continue and you hear, you will grow in understanding and you will grow in faith. And with the understanding is what we're talking about this morning, the illumination, the Spirit teaching you Thankfully, it's not left to the skill of the pastor alone, although hopefully he's gifted to teach and preach. But it's the Holy Spirit who is our guide, who is our teacher, who quickens us. It's not left to the IQ of the people. Some of us may say, whew. But it's the Spirit teaches us, and the Spirit gives us wisdom from above and understanding. It's amazing. Listen to this, Psalm 19. Remember these words, they're probably familiar to some of us. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Here it is, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. And here it is, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Because you know what happens when there is honey? When there is the honeycomb of the word? Let me capture those phrases again. The converting of the soul, making wise the simple, rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes. That should be the effect of the word of God in Christians' lives. So Jonathan puts his hand to his mouth. I was weary. I was weary. I was tired. Oh, but now look, I have quickened. I've been quickened by the honey. And notice he says, where is it? Yeah, verse 29. Jonathan says, look how my eyes were enlightened because I tasted a little of this honey. And don't you, I love that phrase, a little of this honey, just a little. That's all. Just a little was enough to make the difference, to quicken me. And now I'm ready to go again. We need that. So 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things. There it is again. That we might know. In other words, without the Spirit, we will not. But by the Spirit, that we might know what has been freely given to us. And that speaks of grace. For grace is a mystery. Grace is a secret that the natural man cannot comprehend. He cannot understand it. Maybe he can define it and he can talk about it and maybe even preach about it. But without the Holy Spirit, we do not grow in the grace of Christ. We do not grow in our apprehension of it, in our experience of it, in our understanding of it. These things we also speak, verse 13, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but that the Holy Spirit teaches. Man teaches, and that's good. But it's by the Holy Spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14, for the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. But the pneumaticos, the spiritual man, oh, there is understanding, that there is the sense in his life that this book is open, that God is speaking, that heaven is open. And in my life as on my pilgrim journey, oh, I taste the oil, I taste the honey, I long for it, and I am quickened by God in my experience. It reminds us, as we close, of in the tabernacle. You remember there is the lampstand with the oil that was to be flowing, and then the flame that would be burning. And one of the purposes of that was that it would illuminate the rest of the room, the rest of the holy place, that the priest would see the candlestick itself. Sorry, that's it's not candles. We shouldn't say candlestick. The lampstand, because it was oil. And you would see the lampstand, you would see the altar of incense, you would see the table of showbread because of the illumination. And that is what is so crucial in a Christian's life, in the pulpit, in the church. When you lose that light, you lose the illumination, and the heavenly things become dull. It becomes common, and it's just a building, it's just a book, it's just a room, it's just a formality, it's just a tradition. But we have that by the grace of God in our lives. So, Father, we thank you tonight, today, for your great grace, for your Spirit in us and with us, for the taste of oil, the taste of honey, the quickening in our lives. We love this book. We love your words. We long for them again and again, that you would speak to us. For without that, our lives are lacking, are missing. You keep us in the way. I pray this morning for each one here and also listening online. Perhaps there are some who are not sure of their faith, of their salvation. Oh, in this moment, in your heart, look to Jesus. Say, Jesus, please, I want to know that I am saved. I want you to save me by your grace. I reach out to you and ask for the gift of salvation by grace. And then I pray that you would lead me on in this wilderness. You would lead me on my journey. That you would not hide your word from me, but speak to me and lead me. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.